Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, episode 82. This is the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Escardian. As always, I am joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. Welcome back, everybody.
Yes.
We are here. We are physically present.
Great. I am glad we are bringing the energy and setting the tone early for what was a light week of Pokemon news.
Pokemon really enjoyed their holiday break. It was really like, everyone get out of the office, go eat a turkey, don't do anything involving Pokemon. So
if you're new to the show, just really quick, obviously we talk about Pokemon stuff. We talk about the games in every variation and variety that they come in. We talk about the anime, we talk about Pokemon stuff. So if you like Pokemon, buckle in, keep all hands and feet inside the tram at all times, and away we go. I'm going to start with what was an interesting piece, because we actually talked about this just a few weeks ago when this Pokemon came up in the Pokemon Fact of the Week, which we do every week at the end of the show, and that is Kadabra. Mm-hmm. And one of the fun facts about Kadabra was they basically have not made a Kadabra card in 20 years because a magician flipped his lid about it and thought
a mesmerist.
Yes. Sorry,
calling him a magician
get his title right.
Right. So Uri Geller. Mm-hmm. Was the mesmerist who 20 years ago got real upset at the Pokemon Company for Kadabra's design of him holding the two spoons and having them bent, because that was his shtick.
And still is to this day.
And still is.
So, I mean, kudos, though, for making that his shtick for 20 years.
You know, so Uri Geller is actually like a very well-known, like he had a very infamous appearance on one of the late night shows. I think it was like the Johnny Carson show or something like that, mm-hmm. where basically he got like ripped to shreds because he does the whole spoon bending shtick, which is literally just him moving his thumb and bending the spoon, but he claims it's with psychic powers. So in Japan, the Abra line all have names that kind of are similar to various magicians or mentalists. Like for instance, Alakazam is Fuden over in Japan, which is like based off of Harry Houdini. Mm-hmm. They don't sound alike, but when you look at the spellings, you're like, okay, they changed one letter. And Kadabra's name is very similar to Uri Geller's name. So it is very likely that the Pokemon was a deliberate like homage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Uri Geller is also infamously like Sue Happy.
He's very litigious.
Yes. And so he straight up sued the Pokemon Company. And because of that, while they, you know, didn't have to stop using Kadabra in the games, they did stop publishing Pokemon cards because for whatever reason, that was where the flashpoint seemed to be at. He felt he was entitled to a portion of the sales of Kadabra cards, which is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
But because of this, there was a the Pokemon company has straight up said
hasn't made a card. They've made Abra cards. They've made Alakazam cards. Like in Vivid Voltage, there is a VMAX Alakazam.
And it is amazing. Like I'm half convinced that the reason why we've gotten all of these like cards where it's like you can throw down like a Blastoise immediately, like without having to evolve it, is because of, you know, figuring out ways to get Alakazam into the game without Kadabra. Because like Alakazam always appears as as one of these cards. Like he was an EX card, he was a V card. You know, he gets all these different cards, and you know they're basically designed to get Alakazam out onto the, and other times it's like Abra has a special ability that allows him to you know evolve to Alakazam instead of without the use of a Kadabra card. I mean, they have found some creative ways of getting Alakazam in there because Alakazam's a pretty popular psychic type Pokemon.
It's also got a, I mean, it's a cool looking Pokemon too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's,
yeah.
You know.
So, you know, Uri Geller apparently got contacted by The Gamer, which is a website. And, you know, Uri Geller claims, and again, we have to take this with a grain of salt because it's coming from Uri Geller, that he has, you know, graciously contacted Nintendo and told them that they are allowed to start printing Kadabra cards once more. So that is kind of like the gist of the story, is he has commented via email that he has given the Pokemon company permission. We have no idea how he went about that and whether the Pokemon company even knew that up until like this story started making the rounds.
Yeah. Here's what I bet happened. Pokemon cards have skyrocketed in value recently. I don't know if you know that.
I've not heard of that.
I am
What are we talking about? Like they're worth like $50 or what?
I don't know if you know that, but they're pretty pricey. There haven't been many Kadabra cards. And I bet you that Uri Geller was like, oh, I have been missing out. There are no Kadabra cards for me to cash in on. Not that there are Kadabra cards to cash in on. But right.
So
it's interesting, I was going to say, it's interesting. I saw on Twitter as soon as like he announced that and several like prolific Pokemon, like web hosts and like YouTubers and stuff like that. They reached out and were like, oh, well in celebration of this, would you like to like sign some Kadabra cards and get those out? And Uri Geller was like, no. I want nothing to do with this. And I was
it's interesting though, because he did also say that, you know, part of his reason was, you know, Pokemon obviously is a major franchise and so big. And so he's got grandchildren now who have no idea the history behind, you know, Uri and the Pokemon company or whatever. And he wants to be able, you know, he sees the joy that his grandchildren have and wants to make sure that everyone can experience Kadabra in a way that everyone did.
His 10-year-old grandkid probably called him a jerk for doing this.
Yeah, he was like, I can't believe you did that.
That was the Thanksgiving Zoom. That was the conversation. The virtual Thanksgiving dinner was basically, Grandpa, I still don't have a Kadabra card. And he's like, well, Sonny, did you know? And then... all of a sudden, all hell broke loose.
Do you remember when Gene Simmons found out that Obstagoon was a thing that existed?
Was hilarious.
And on Twitter, he was literally like, "What is this? excuse me?" And then like 12 hours later, he like releases a statement and he's like, "The Gene Simmons family has always loved the Pokemon franchise.
Yeah,
we are happy to have Obstagoon, you know, represent, you know, Gene Simmons in the franchise. This will be our only comment about this."
And yeah. These kinds of homages, I get everyone, you know, everyone's different, right? Or whatever, feels a bit differently. But like, to me, that kind of homage Mm-hmm. That's pretty freaking cool. Like, this is a yeah. brand and a legacy that will last forever. And and even if you are, I mean, like, look, Gene Simmons' legacy is not going anywhere, right? Like, so if something like Obstagoon or whatever brings more people to figure out, you know, what Kiss was, then that only helps, man.
So yeah. I will say this, okay? And, you know, I look at this, I'm reminded of, you know, as I'm if you follow me on Twitter, you probably know I am a big, you know, Ohio sports fan. I remember back in 2016 when, you know, the Cleveland Cavs were, you know, on their road to winning the championship. And, you know, they started making all these, like, you know, Attitude Era WWE references. And so the WWE, it's like, you know, this is great. You know, this is a great cross-promotional chance for us. So they sent out The Undertaker. Just random. The Undertaker literally randomly shows up in costume at a game, and he wanted to get a picture with LeBron. And LeBron's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, why are you, like, I'm not going to let you try to cash in on my image without my permission. Like, that's my brand. And so, you know, I get it to some extent. Like, don't get me wrong. I personally think it's cool. But on the other hand, like, I do see the flip side to it, where it's like, you know, the Nintendo has no problem suing all these, you know, people, mm-hmm. you know, for making Pokemon knockoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I, and don't get me wrong, like, I don't have any problem with, like, Obstagoon or Kadabra, and I don't know how it would work in Japanese court, but in America, you know, there's no way that you'd win those lawsuits. But I can see why if you're somebody who is known for your image, and then, you know, suddenly there is a Fox version of you that people can beat up on. Like, I get it. I do.
Well, I think also too, there's that, you know, the line between like parody, where like, I feel like I'm more surprised that I don't think like any, it's printed anywhere or anywhere that like, you know, that like that disclaimer that is usually found. That's like any, resemblance mm-hmm. to real living or dead people is totally by coincidence or whatever.
Because it's not by coincidence. You can't make that statement. I mean, for God's sake, just wait until later on today. We will have another Pokemon fact of the week, which references another real life person.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm just curious if the Pokemon company will actually make more Kadabra cards. I would be very surprised if they do, because after that I feel like they just want nothing to do with this whole situation. But if they do, it should be like the funniest Kadabra card. Like just something, like, I don't even know.
He just had a magic Kadabra show getting like knocked out by a Klefki or something like that.
Yeah, that'll do. We'll see.
All right. Well, I don't know how to transition out of that one, so we'll just go to the next story. Pokemon Go Beyond is live. The big changes that came to the highly popular mobile app game are finally available for everyone to enjoy. Is anyone level 50 yet?
LOL.
Some people are really working on it. I'm impressed. I like some people like... It's like, you know, like I'll hop on the various Pokemon Go Reddits and like, you know, I'll see like somebody's like, here are the level 48 requirements. I'm like, screw you, man.
What I've now seen though is there's a lot of people who are like near that 40 mark who are very close to banking like best friends with a lot of people, and so they're just basically like waiting to figure out who those people are on their friends list, because like I'm like in a local Pokemon Go group and everyone's like, does anyone know who this player is, because they want to like pop a lucky egg and make, you know, best friends with, you know, the five people that they're very close to doing it with and just get a metric ton of XP points. So the grind is on, and I respect the heck out of it. The thing I don't like is the new, and I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm only finding one star raids for Esper, but like, is that all that exists, or are there like, have you guys encountered higher level Esper?
No, it's only
I haven't.
Star. That okay. Side tangent.
Esper.
What the hell was up with the Esper marketing.
Like the weird marketing behind that? It
was
weird.
That was the weirdest thing. The fact that I saw Esper trending worldwide at one point, I was like, I had to like double check Twitter because I was like, why are you here? I mean,
okay, well, hold on. Let's back up. Let's give folks some context. So,
yes.
What is it? Like, over the week, this past weekend, we got the Pokemon Go Twitter account, like, just was tweeting out these random, like, ooh, you know, some, you know, a new Pokemon is kind of like they showed a pink egg or whatever. And there were like little hints, like, Esper is like, Pokemon number, which I'm forgetting offhand right now, is it was like flying in a banner across the background or whatever, and it was just like this whole song and dance just to announce that Esper is in the game in raid, and it's only a 1-star raid.
Somebody really likes Esper, and like I side with that person because I too love Esper, but it was a bit overkill. it was a lot.
I was wondering if, like, they were going to go and use, like, Esper to introduce, like, terrains or something, and that was how, because they're like, but no, it was just, they snuck in another Pokemon into this thing. And you know, how, I don't understand how Esper got, like, the love when they also threw in Noibat into this whole thing, and Noibat, you know, didn't get any coverage whatsoever. It's like, oh yeah, here's Noibat. Like, Noibat's another like iconic Pokemon from Pokemon X and Y. You know, it's Noivern is, if it gets better moves, will be a better Pokemon to have in Pokemon Go. And like, it's like an afterthought. It was like, who I mean, I'm not going to question Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go does some really good marketing, and I did like this marketing in general. Like, you know, I thought the videos were cool. It felt like a little bit Fortnite-y, which, you know, it did cause Esper to trend because everyone was like, oh yeah, it's Esper. Like, what's going on here? I was just like, is there something more that I'm missing? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. There is nothing more we were missing.
No. There was nothing hidden. There were no
I assume everyone has an Esper.
Yes. I got it literally 5 minutes after it got added to the game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It has been so interesting because on this text chain that I'm at, like, the leader of it literally just had their first child, and I, like, was getting updates on Facebook from one of them. He was like, all right, well, the baby's coming in about an hour, so I think I can get a couple raids in. And I was like, I feel like you really, really need to be, like, diverting your priorities right now, but I don't know. His girl's fine, so it works. But I was like, you have some explaining to do.
So besides Esper, has anybody actually gotten a Kalos Pokemon yet? Because
No.
I see a couple like pop up on my radar, but nothing has actually shown up yet here at the house.
Nothing.
It has been an interesting experience. I'm, by the way, for those keeping track at home, I'm up to 4.2 million on my quest to 5 million XP to get to level 40. So I'm on pace, he says, as he's, I was like, oh yeah, I gotta go and get my Pokemon catches in for this like 30 minute stretch. I have been a fan of what they did to Go Beyond. They made a lot of like minor changes that they didn't really publicize. Like, people are complaining about, like, you know, the lack of Kalos Pokemon and Kalos Celebration, which I agree with, but also we went through the same thing when they did the Unova and you know, and there's some like weirdo, they're still trying to work out the kinks, I think, on some of the spawning stuff, because weather spawns are super, super sensitive right now. And I don't get that at all. But generally speaking, I've actually been a big fan of what they did for all of this. So, yeah, a lot of cool little changes. Like, they did the, not only did they increase XP, they made a couple of berries more useful. They increased the storage. They gave Stardust bonuses to a bunch of random Pokemon.
Yep, which is nice.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want Christian to go through, speaking of the Kalos Pokemon, which one people may want to get their hands on if they want some PvP. We'll talk about some holiday gift ideas for the Pokemon fan in your life, Pokemon Fact of the Week, and then we'll get out of here when we get back.
Hi. At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
All right, we're running against the clock, Christian. But who do people need to get if they're PvPing in Pokemon Go based off with the new Kalos Pokemon?
So the two most useful Pokemon are surprisingly Diggersby and Chestnut. Diggersby is actually like basically like budget Groudon for Great League, like right down to it has the same like you know moveset. Now that moveset's not the most useful moveset in Great League. But you know, Diggersby is actually it's a very bulky Pokemon. And you know, ground types are a good Pokemon to have, you know, in Great League, and it can take out a lot of the most popular Pokemon. It's like came out of nowhere. Chestnut also has some like decent will end up you'll see it around in Great League. It's not going to be like this one's a Pokemon that you definitely have to plan around. But it's got some good coverage options. Because it's a grass/fighting type, you know, it can slot in into that, like, you know, fighting Pokemon are good to have just because of the prevalence of dark type Pokemon and ice type Pokemon and a few others that are popular in those metagames. And so it's got a little bit of usage in both Great League and Ultra League, but really Diggersby is the one that you want. And it's really wild. Everyone was like, this Pokemon's actually pretty good. Like and like Greninja is trash, which I'm just like so disappointed by. I love Greninja and it is trash.
I've seen weird so many the people Pokemon complain about that.
Yeah, like that's what I was gonna say. Go ahead.
Greninja's a huge obviously I have a little bit of bias because I'm so plugged into the anime community, but Greninja is a massive they put him as like one of the leads in Detective Pikachu. Like it has a very well known presence, and for it to be as trashed as it is in PvP,
he's in Pokemon Tournament shocking. Too. He's in Smash Brothers.
It's like, shocking. It'd be like if they like dumped on Charizard. Like, that's not gonna happen. So like I was just like shocked when I saw how many people when they got Greninja were just like so taken aback.
We are starting the petition to buff Greninja. We need it. We need Greninja to be better.
Justice for Greninja.
The problem is that the Greninja is so geared on towards attack, you know, it's and that comes at the cost of it. It is very much a in the normal game, it is very much a glass cannon type Pokemon where it can really beat the snot out of you. But once it takes a couple of hits, it's done. And those type of Pokemon just don't really do well in the Pokemon Go format to the simplified stats and whatnot. And also, it got some weird moves. Like, it didn't get any of, like, the really good, moves. And, people are like, even when it gets, you know, its community day move, it's not going to be that great. So, it's... Oh, well.
Rape Greninja.
All right. Let's get to some Pokemon gifts. Christian actually put together a really awesome gift guide for the Pokemon fan in your life. But I know, we've talked about it a little bit on the show a couple weeks ago, right before Black Friday and all that. So let's get through, want to talk about like, you know, are there things on your radar that you want to give to someone? One thing that I will say, and it was just announced earlier this week, that we are getting a official Pokeballs. Christian and I have very different opinions, and so I am curious to where you land on this one, Megan, because to me it looks like it's just a glorified paperweight. It doesn't even open. The Pokeball doesn't even open.
So I pre-ordered it. I'm very excited. I pre-ordered it. I do think it is expensive for what it is. So these little replicas, they're basically like die cast. They have a light in it. So like it shines around like if you've caught a Pokemon. And as you approach it and you put your hand near it, the light reacts in different kind of like pulsing patterns and stuff like that until you pick it up. But basically they're coming out the whole line of these for Master Ball, Great Ball, Ultra Ball. They're doing them throughout the year for the Pokemon anniversary. It is $99 USD, which is fairly expensive. They sold out on Amazon, the pre-orders, so quickly. I had to order it from elsewhere, but I really just want the original one. It's just like a super really cool little thing that I can have.
Who's going to collect them all?
Not me.
Unless they go on an extensive sale, unless they do like a bundle pack, like once it's all over and it's like really discounted. I can't afford that habit. I do not pick up money as easily in real life as I do in Pokemon Sword and Shield. I don't just find pearl necklaces on the ground, which would be great. But I think they're pretty neat. Definitely not for kids. On the website, it says, please do not throw the balls. And I was like,
I can't wait to see the reports of broken windows, broken legs.
Gosh, yeah.
I did straight up tell Jim, because he was being obnoxious when this news broke. I'm like, I'm going to drive down to Nashville. I'm going to chuck one of these at your back.
Oh my god, like that's legitimately could be a weapon.
Yeah, it's a big metal ball.
It is a big metal ball painted like a Pokeball. That's just what a great final thing to see, though, just hurling towards your face. that's definitely for the collector in your life who's not going to just, unlike Hoffer and I, throw things at people around us. But yeah, they're selling out quick. I mean, maybe by the time you are listening to this, listeners, it will be gone. Hopefully there's still some you can get, but yeah, they went out on Amazon so fast.
Yeah, right. I'm not super shocked. Although they'll probably have more, because you know I've actually found that Amazon is a great place to get, like, I have a few websites that I usually get collectibles from, and Amazon's kind of my last resort. But like I've got like an Edelgard figure from Fire Emblem, and like she was sold out everywhere, and Amazon actually had it at retail price. I was like, okay, I
if you insist, I will take this. But yeah, as far as other Pokemon gifts go, I have gotten a couple already, which I cannot say because I have family and friends who do listen to this podcast and they will know immediately. But one thing that I did consider getting was several of the Ditto plushes. I know I've talked about that before from the Pokemon Company. Those things are just adorable, and I want them for myself. They are very, very cute. If you have little kids who like just carrying around little plushes, or, you know, 20-plus-year-old adults who have collection issues. It's also great.
Yeah, that's a great rec. Christian, what's your must-have?
So, Since this is a holiday, like, so right now, if you go to the Pokemon Center, they're starting to post all their holiday stuff. So like literally last night I went and bought,
did you get your trains?
The trains have not come out yet, for whatever reason. Although we did pull that out of storage. It was really funny because we decorated our house for Christmas, and like way too much of our Christmas decorations is Pokemon themed.
I feel that on a deep level.
Darcy and I bought Christmas sweaters. They have some really, really adorable Pokemon Christmas sweaters at the Pokemon Center. I really think that those are going to be like a great, you know, those are great gifts. Like, you know, and you know, doofy Christmas sweaters are always like in style. Especially as they, you know, as more and more people embrace the ugly Christmas sweater trend, they have some really cute ones. That is my pick of like, you know, what if you need a Pokemon gift and you need to like, you know, something quick, that is a really good one to get, is, you know, a Pokemon sweater. A lot of people are going to like those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My rec, I'll get to in a second, but I just went to the Pokemon Center site just kind of see what else they have. And I am destroyed at the fact that the Galarian Ponyta Sparkling Friendships plush is out of stock because my daughter would go nuts for that. And it is so freaking cute. So anyway.
I'm really upset that we're now talking about this because I just went on the Pokemon Center website. And in the time Hopper started speaking, I have added three things to my cart. Unfortunately, they have released a new Eevee Funko figure holiday Eevee. And I am honestly trying to just keep myself together and composed. That is my Christmas gift to myself this year.
My rec, and it's the perfect stocking stuffer, and it's always stocking stuffer, and it's always kind of my go-to is, and I've talked about them before, are those Wicked Cool Toys / Jazzwares, like mini figures. They're sturdy, they're in great like playable poses. Like I used to hate like kind of those standard, like the poses that are just like weird that aren't like, you know, that you couldn't do anything with. Like they're all very cool poses. And like I said, like I remember trying to collect all the 151 as a kid, having to resort to having to buy some Japanese import ones because they just never made their way to the States or I couldn't find them or whatever. So, now like there's a ton of those. I love them. Definitely check those out. There is also something a bit more Christmas specific. I do love a good Pikachu in a costume, and there is a very adorable small Pikachu plush in a like very plush Christmas sweater kind of thing going on there, and he is he's very cute. So, yes. All right. So with that, those are some of our holiday recs for some last minute gift ideas for you, Christian. Let's get the Pokemon fact of the week, and let's get out of here.
So, Mr. Rhyme, we've talked a little bit about Mr. Rhyme and his weirdness here. This is one of those things where it seems really obvious in hindsight. He's based off Charlie Chaplin.
Oh yeah, I definitely get that vibe.
Like Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin's from the UK. He's one of Great Britain's most favorite sons, and he was immortalized in Pokemon games. He's a Pokemon.
I never put two and two together because I did not realize Charlie Chaplin was from the UK.
Me neither. I did not know he was from the UK. It's not like I really listened to his voice a lot, but nor have I seen any documentary on him, apparently. Wow. That one just went right over my head. But no, I definitely can get that.
Yeah. I mean, wow, he's
Charlie Chaplin Pokemon clones all over the UK. I love it.
Yeah. No, it's really funny because, like, you know, all the other, like, you know, facts about Mr. Mime, it's all mainly, you know, like, I think we have covered this before, but I'll toss this one in as a bonus book fact of the week. You know, we've talked about Mr. Mime now has five fingers when he originally had four and the reason why. You guys remember that book fact of the
week,
right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you have not listened to our entire backlog, I'll give you one for free. Mr. Mime, they had to add a finger because having four fingers is a sign of being involved with the Yakuza, which is the Japanese organized crime. They cut off the top part of a finger to as a way of making recompense for screwing up something. Missing a finger or having four fingers is often associated with the Yakuza. And when that connotation, when people start complaining about it, they chucked on an extra finger to Mr. Mime. So,
nice.
So, you know, but yeah, Mr. Mime's hands vibrate. That's the other thing. He's got
I was just reading that. It was talking about like, For the entry in Sword and Shield for the Galarian Mr. Mime or Mr. Rhyme, it was saying that its hands evolutionarily have just grown larger to enhance its pantomiming skills. And I'm like, that's a really disconcerting notion. Like how, because evolutionarily speaking, that means Mr. Mime with smaller hands are just cold before they can reproduce. Happening? Is pantomiming not good enough? Do they just like cut off your hands and just let you pee? Like I have a lot of questions about how this works.
They get
I'm not sure models. I want the answers.
They get into my and the ones with smaller hands, you know, get like, you know, like thrown out into the unforgiving winter. And that's how we got Galarian, Mr. Mime.
Was, oh my gosh, they got like shipped off to the, oh no, they just got shipped off. Oh, I'm very uncomfortable now with Pokemon again. Oh, that's the trend with this podcast, though.
Sure is.
I love it.
Yeah, I love when we can put two and two together like that.
Yep, that's how we got it. Mr. Mime Rebellion.
All right. I did want to do something really quick because we know Megan's got to go, but it's been a while since we have read some reviews on the show.
I always have time for reviews.
And we have gotten a few. So if you head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. As soon as we're back in the office, we will get you a comicbook.com t-shirt. Like I said, as soon as we're back in there. This one is from Townie, 1715. Every PokeFan needs to listen. I'm so glad I stumbled across this podcast. I love Pokemon, and it's very clear that the podcast hosts do as well. They are very knowledgeable, and I agree with the majority of their opinions, except for Christian's. His hatred towards Squirtle and is one of pure jealousy because he knows that Bulbasaur will never get the same kind of love. He's also very disappointed with the hatred towards Jolteon. If you've never actually played with Jolteon, you would know that the combination of speed and special attack is way more viable than any other of the evolutions. While his opinions may be poor, the random weird facts at the end of the episode are great. Keep up the great work, and I'm looking forward to more episodes.
Whoa.
First of all, there's only...
I appreciate you, but whoa.
No, I love
it. There is only one Pokemon that is number one, and that is Bulbasaur. It's literally a fact. I mean, it cannot be argued against. So I dismiss your opinions out of hand for that.
No,
but thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate
those kind words. All right. Well, I want to get two more, and then we'll get going. This one is from Skeptic. Loki, really fun and informative. Just started listening because my 10-year-old mentioned. I started playing Pokemon when it first came out, and admittedly I was in college. Started getting the cards and playing. I listened to several podcasts that are D&D based and in the Pokemon world. This show helps me keep me abreast of what's going on in the world of Pokemon, which in turn helps me make sure that I understand what my oldest boy is saying. Plus, it's just fun to listen to and gives me ideas for birthdays, how to play games with my kids, and ideas for Pokemon Go. So thank you, Skeptical Oki.
Yes.
And this next one, look, a pun will always get us. Get me every time from 14 Mudkip 14 headline amazing. I tried to come up with a complaint, but nothing happened. Every time you leave a pun, it gets read every time.
Wow, that was a good one. Those are all great.
Even
the jab at Vaporeon is acceptable. I'll take it because I know Vaporeon's strong enough to take it.
There you go. All right, folks. Really do appreciate you spending some time with us this week. We'll be here same time, same place next week. And if you're watching along on Twitch, hit that follow button because, like I said, there's a good chance we're probably going to start doing this show live. And then that's when things get really crazy. Get ready, Christian. All right. Surprise. News on the show. If you want to get in touch with us on Twitter at PokemonPodCB or at Jim Viscardi is where you can find me.
You can find me on Twitter at MeganPetersCB.
And I am at Seehofer Seabus.
I'm going to give a shout out to our producer, Rich Adams, who is on. He's on, but you don't hear him, but he's the one who makes this show possible. So I want to give Rich a shout out this week for sure. All right, folks. Catch you next week. See you later.